Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
Justify me by myself, but write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. Right now you're joining poets from all around the globe to share their work, to join in community. As there are natural disasters and fires and hurricanes and earthquakes and just man-made violence from all around, it feels good to come together in a community and focus on something pure and something real, and that's what we're here for. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. We're back. I am technically a year older than the last show we did. But I feel spry, JT. I feel scrappy and spry.
This is good.
Yes. We hope so. And yeah. I hope I can continue to say this.
Yes.
I feel like I'm getting close. Actually, I've been working out.
That's good.
I've been not eating very much.
Right. I've seen that.
Yeah, I set JT up as an accountability guy.
Which is great.
So I bug him I always debate
pictures of food.
I send you pictures of food, but I debate. I kind of like, should I send him a picture as I'm starting to eat it? Should I send him the picture as I'm midway through? Should I send him the picture at the end? Picture at the end feels slightly like I'm giving evidence, but that it could have just been a total put-up job and there could have been like several tacos in there.
Yeah, it could have
and
been.
And I'm not exactly sure how to do that appropriately.
I like the midway. The like midway point looks great.
It's like I am eating this in extremely low light situations.
It's what's funny.
Yes, I turn the lights off to zone out. We hope everybody's doing well.
Yes.
Diane, to the people who have been affected in the areas that where things are happening, our hearts really go out to you. Diane, please let us know if you're all right. We hope you're okay. And we are 100% there for everybody. And I think I kind of speak for everybody in our family here. At any rate, we're here tonight. We're here to celebrate and to kind of come together here. So, JT, do you have anything? What happened this week, man? What are you up to? What's been going on?
Well,
let's wrap.
Let's see. For me, not much. I've been just here at home searching for a job.
Yeah, yeah.
But on the weekends, we still get out. So that helps.
You're let out of your kennel a couple times
weird.
A week.
It's not like I can't leave.
Of course
I have
you can
a car.
Leave. Of course
but,
you can leave. Yeah.
But, you know, I'm at home.
Dude, if it's good enough for North Korea, it's good enough for you. You can do anything you want to do.
That's right.
You know what, man? If those guys can do that kind of crap, you can do it too. No, don't
I might
do that.
Get in trouble
Actually,
with that one.
Let's
but,
back
you
up.
Know.
I don't think you'd want to do that kind of thing.
No, I don't want to
so
do
it's,
that.
So, you know, I've never. Well, no, there was a time. Or having a nuclear arsenal would have been something I was into. But anymore, you know, I like to keep life simple.
That's good.
I really am. I'm big on just simplicity now,
That's good.
You know? And so I can understand that, man.
Yeah.
I can understand. But it doesn't mean you can't, like, go threaten to take over, like, a store or something.
Ooh, there's an idea.
Yeah. Or, you know, claim an apartment in the name of Spain or something.
I never thought about doing
yeah.
it in another country.
Do it.
For another country.
Yeah,
ooh.
Dude. Yeah, that way you shift the blame.
Yeah,
it's
that's
amazing.
Right.
This is geopolitics, man. This is
shift
how this stuff works. It's pretty incredible. All right. Hey, let's do some rules here. So, number one, no hate speech. And we mean literally no hate speech. If you start talking about how much you hate tacos, we're going to have words. Just throwing that out there. But actually, no hate speech. We're actually not kidding about that. Second of all, we try to skew PG-13. However, we're not in the business of censorship. So as long as it's not, you know, gratuitous and over the top, we're going to let you, you know, continue on. We ask you to keep it between 3 to 5 minutes. Like I said, try to skew PG-13, but whatever. We also, I think we have made a promise, JT.
Yeah?
Next month.
Yeah?
We've been somehow just randomly happening.
We've been randomly missing it,
yeah,
I guess.
We're going to need to go a little after dark.
That's fine.
We're going to need to go zero dark 30.
Okay.
At the beginning of October.
Okay, that's fine.
And it'll be after your birthday, too.
Yes, it will.
Yeah.
So then that is where we want those uncensored poems.
Right. Basically Sinister, what he does all the time. He can do that on After Dark, and it would fit just fine. He does pull it back for the main show.
He does.
He really does, and
really
I do appreciate that. I do. I appreciate his. Nice. Yeah. So at any rate, those are our two rules. What we're going to do is do a segment of 5 unique callers. Once those people call in, you'll get set in the order you are received. You will hear that we have our 5, and then we'll go through, listen to them, then we'll do another segment, and we'll see if we warrant a third segment. After that, we'll do a thing called the return engagement, which will be where everybody can call back in. However, I am going to be throwing in a little thing called Studio X somewhere within the show. It might even be a surprise, guys. It might be like a ninja standing right behind you, but it's a Studio X session. I know. See? It's that sneaky around here. Also, we have a new poet of the month that we will be teasing, not the poet, you guys, with facts about the poet, and a new poetry form of the month, which I will also mention.
Sweet.
All right, everybody. I also want to give a quick shout out to Diane and the Garden of Poetry and Prose. The Garden, as we've been referring to it for the last week or so. It's been a great time. Thank you so much for the invitation. It was awesome, and we enjoyed being involved. Meanwhile, let's go to the calls right now. We're going to do the call-in segment. First 5 callers, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Let's do this.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate.
Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. So, JT, you know, I got to be honest. I mean, this is real talk here. What the hell is going on in the world? I mean, I'm expressing this. I haven't expressed this to anybody else.
Okay.
And so this is all like a private forum.
Okay.
No one's going to know. So, you know, I'm aware that life will carry on. Right?
Sure.
Well, you know.
In a form?
Well, of course.
Are you talking big picture or small picture right now?
I'm both.
Both?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah, both. Because we're sitting here at the moment in a very cozy
place. We are a very cozy place in Denver, Colorado,
and we haven't had any of these things affect us.
No.
That was, you know, Draven Gray from The Sound Still. He does, we have a little bumper that we play towards the end of the show.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
His hometown's Houston.
His
family members, his wife's mother almost lost her home.
Wow.
Serious, serious stuff.
Okay.
And, you know, Florida is in the way. Mexico, you know, St. Bart's, like all these places.
Yeah.
You know, St. Martin's. It's just a terrible, terrible time. And I get asked this about from children all the time. What's going on? And then there's North Korea, and then there's all this stuff. What do you think's going on? What's your take on this?
Okay. So as far as the weather?
Just all together.
No. As far as the weather.
Okay.
That's climate.
If only we had something to prove that it was real.
I don't know. Scientific facts might prove it, but it's kind of hard to acknowledge.
The fact is, I think the debate now is not if it's real or not. It's what caused it. But fair enough.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's still different.
We know what caused it. It's just,
right.
Is it accelerated by us? Or in general,
right.
Is this a natural cycle for the world?
Totally.
Fine. The earthquake. Horrible.
Horrible.
But that's the earth. Mm-hmm. That's what she does. Mm-hmm. That North Korea stuff, though,
Total man-made.
Total a man-made thing, and his mountain's about to be... He's got to be careful with his mountain.
Yeah.
Because if his mountain die, if it, it's about ready to implode.
You think so?
And that... No, scientists have said you got to stop that.
Wait, what are you talking about, mountain? There's
a mountain he does his tests on.
Oh, I thought you were being metaphorical.
No!
Oh.
There is a physical mountain that he does his tests, and if he's not careful, if they're not careful,
okay,
that mountain will leak out all of the radiation they've put into it.
Okay. And maybe it'll kill the giant rabbits his father ordered to feed all the people?
That's possible.
Dude, do you realize there is a scenario, as horrifying as this sounds, for people of North Korea and South Korea, to be honest, how horrifying it is. However, there is a shot that we might have radioactive giant rabbits.
Night of the lupus.
Yes. Night of the lupus.
Have you seen that?
No.
DeForest Kelly? Come on.
No, I haven't seen Night of the Lupus.
It's,
you know,
giant
see, guys, we haven't really hung out in a while.
We haven't. It's been a week.
So this is the issue. This is why we meet on Wednesdays, to get this stuff out.
Yes.
2 weeks ago, we were talking about how Jar Jar Binks is a secret Sith Lord.
He is.
And we just think it's real. We think it's a real thing. I don't
totally
care what you guys say.
That's right.
I am set in my delusions.
Yep.
All right, let's go to the callers, though. So we had a few little audio issues in the call-in. Hopefully this works now. Let's go to Barbara from Connecticut, the state where it happens. Hello, Barbara.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good. I was worried because, like, you didn't. I was talking.
I know.
And you were doing all these, like, sounds and everything.
I couldn't.
Oh, no, that was me just blowing my schnoz.
Oh, was that really?
Yeah.
So I couldn't. I had no audio to talk to you. I could see it, but I couldn't. I couldn't hear you.
Yeah,
so.
No, I was there, and I heard you guys, so.
Yeah. Oh,
you said,
I saw
hang
you.
On, so I hung on.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, it's rare to be number one, you know, on this program.
Well, you got to be used to it, award winner.
Oh, yes. I didn't want to talk about it.
Oh, yeah, right. You didn't want to talk about it, Barbara. Oh, don't bring it up. No. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. I actually have a photograph with me holding my award. And I probably will be changing my profile picture to show that. But
to show the award?
Yes, of course.
Barbara, can you write the caption, Barbara Aaron True, and then underneath, hey, haters, suck on this, and just hold up the award? That's what I would do.
You know, it also it got first prize at Indie Gathering, mm-hmm. and then that was for best short romantic comedy. And then it got runner-up at Action on Film, and that was for best dialogue in a short. And
cool.
I lost to the guy who won Best Writer of the Year last year, so I didn't feel too bad.
Oh,
you know?
I see. Okay. Well, still, though, that's so you did quite well,
yeah.
though. I mean, and I'm so
yeah.
glad you got to go out there.
Oh, it was fabulous.
I bet it was.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
And this was the Palms, and the nightclub was amazing. I wanted to dance all night. And the whole setting for it was so wonderful. And the theaters. And the funny thing is, my movie, Remembering Hal, did not screen because of some sort of glitch in the DVD. And so it may be screening for my friends, you know, and it's on
sure.
YouTube. Anyway.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, it is on YouTube. Anyone who wants to know where to get it, I'll send you the link, so if you want it. And It was wild. It was so wild, that whole experience. Plus, this same screenplay is in another film festival that I'll be hearing about September 17th.
All right.
Which luckily is in Brooklyn, So if I get into it, I can go there really easily. No planes.
No planes. Just cannons. Just cannons and a,
oh, no.
A cape.
Oh, God.
You're going to gonzo
what?
It? never mind. I'm just going off the rails here, Barbara. You're my rock of sanity.
I'm my rock of, oh no, I'm somebody's sanity. I really lost it earlier tonight, so no, I'm not anybody's sanity.
Well, then I'm really I'm really SOL now. Thanks a lot, Barbara.
I did. I actually lost it with my daughters, and but you know, that's another whole story. So anyway. I'm going to read for you the poem that I put in the Garden of Poetry and Prose called Yearning for Love and Finding That Love Moving... Let me start again. Yearning for Love and Finding That Moving Love Can Exist If Only You Pursue Your Dream. Okay, and this is based on the prompt of Sleepless in Seattle, so people have context. She yearned for love. The kind of storybook rapture she had seen in endless movies, when a man suddenly appeared in a woman's life and she instantly fell in love with him. She should have been happy, for didn't she have the best fiancé ever? Yet with all of his loving ways and tenderness, she felt an empty space, the one that should have been filled with the romance she knew they lacked. Pretending all was okay, she swept through her daily life content with the attentions of her very attentive and accomplished lover, knowing that her desire for romance was probably created by her constant watching of Deborah Carr and Cary Grant finding each other at last. She never dreamed, as she investigated the man who seemed so sad and lost, and whose voice she instantly fell in love with from the radio, that her pursuit of him and his son would create in her this desire to know him more, or how her heart would be lassoed across the country by a man she had never met. Forsaking everything, she struggled to meet this forlorn yet so caring man, and finding no chance of meeting him, she left. And instead of returning home, decided to check the place where her movie lovers had planned to meet, and where she had told this man in a letter where she would be. As she stood in the bracing winds of the Empire State Building, tears rolling down her cheeks, she spied a child's toy, not aware it was his son's, who had also followed his heart to find the woman who had written his father with such passion. And then fate, with its inimitable strains of events only envisioned by a scriptwriter you would never imagine could happen in real life, intervened, and there on the top of this iconic building in New York, she found her Cary Grant. Holding out the bedraggled stuffed bear and feeling it should be rescued, a little boy burst through the doors, and with him his father, the man who held the reins of her heart. The boy grabbed and hugged the bear, and the man suddenly stopped and looked at this woman, who all of a sudden made him gaze at her. And he at last realized the woman from whom he had been running away was standing in front of him. She looked into his eyes, and impulsively he took her hand. She saw her future in his glance and the touch of their fingertips at last. End poem.
Very, very good, Barbara. I remember reading that this last week in The Garden.
Yes, yes.
It's very nice.
Yes, I love that movie. Love that movie.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was really excited to write about it. And I got, you know, I got someone who didn't like romantic comedies to think about reading, you know, watching it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's kind of cool. That's, I mean, hopefully. I mean, sometimes romantic movies are not for everyone. Have you noticed that? It just really rubs people the wrong way. Sometimes. I'm a big softy, though.
Well, my short screenplay is a romantic comedy.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So you hope someone would like it, right? You're defending the genre now?
Yeah. No, it's what I've grown up with. It's in my blood, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I understand.
I love Sleepless in Seattle and You've Got Mail and all these, you know.
That's a movie that didn't. That You Got Mail is a movie that is actually not bad, but it sure didn't age well because they hinged it on technology. Did you notice that?
I know. But it's still wonderful. And just, you know, another great movie, which I don't know everybody hasn't seen, but I've seen a zillion times, is One Fine Day.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that one.
George Clooney. Mm-hmm.
And Michelle Pfeiffer, right?
Michelle Pfeiffer. Beautiful movie. With a beautiful song to go with it. So I really love these movies, and I was thrilled, actually, to get, you know, someone over on my side. He came from the dark side, too.
From the dark side, too, to the light side of romantic comedies.
Yes,
next thing you know, he'll be quoting, you know, Hugh Grant, and, you know, you'll never be able to get rid of it.
Yeah. Anyways. I'll be calling back on the return engagement.
Wonderful.
And looking forward to the rest of the show.
We're looking forward to it as well. Thank you, Barbara.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut, where it really happens. I think that should be the tagline for Connecticut.
Connecticut, where it really happens.
Did that really happen? Yeah, in Connecticut. See?
Hmm.
Now, I do think I really came up with a good one for Massachusetts, but it's kind of a riff off Elvis, though, that Massachusetts, it's the 14th biggest state. Okay, anyway, we can't play that song on the show.
No, we cannot, unfortunately.
It's okay. Let's go to Dennis in Michigan. You know, he's been number one for so long. Dennis, you've been number one for so long, but we forget that you really spent a long time in the show as the second caller, and Ellie almost is the number one caller, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. It was a comfortable position then, too. So I don't mind being number two just as long as I'm a number.
Yes, exactly. we're happy that you are, no matter what number. But, you know, we get used to things around here. How are you, sir?
Yeah, we are creatures of habit, aren't we?
We are. We're a little bit like cows in that respect, a little bovine. But, Dennis, how are you? How's everything going?
I'm doing real well, but my heart really goes out to the Texas people that have been underwater for so long.
Oh, yeah.
And for the Florida people, for the nightmare of the storms that's heading their way. I'm praying for them that they may harbor the storm well and few lives be taken. It's going to be a terrible thing going on down there, but still a lot of good can come out of it, and we're hoping that it does.
You know, I agree with you. I really hope that the best can be salvaged out of it. I was thinking about with both Florida and Texas, and Texas was one that was really on my mind, which was, you know, if you were going to have a people, a culture that is just the opposite of victim mentality, who's just going to, they're going to get in there and get their feet, you know, get their feet wet, get their hands dirty, and they're going to rebuild this thing, whether we help them or not.
Yeah.
Texas is one of them, you know, and our hearts go out to them as well, but we're in Florida as well. I mean, it's just a tough mentality, and we're going to support any way we can.
Yes, we are. And, they will survive, and God bless them all.
Absolutely. All right, so what do you have for us this week?
Well, I have a forum poem for you this week, but it's not going to translate real well across the radio as it does on the written page. But I'm going to read it anyway. The forum is A Butterfly Sing Quain, and it is a concrete forum, which on the paper it appears to look like a butterfly, but you'll just have to imagine that.
Okay. All right. Imagine butterflies.
It's a syllabic form where the lines are based on a syllable count. So I'm going to go ahead and read this. The title is, Are You Listening? The wind flows to and fro on its whims of fancy, seeks its own impetuous path. Across the global hemispheres, it flies, whispering its secrets to all those who listen. in the poem.
Wow, short and sweet. That was a powerful piece,
Dennis.
It's
a short form, but it's a powerful form. It's,
yeah.
If it's done well, I'm working on the done well part.
Well, we're always working on that, aren't we? I mean, I think that's the constant state.
Yes, we are.
Dennis, thanks for that, and thank you for, as always, thank you for your work and who you are and everything you do for us.
Well, no, but that's mutual. Thank you so much for being there for us, you and JT and Christine, and we really appreciate you keeping this forum open for us. I know it probably is a great sacrifice that we don't hear about, but I'm sure you are putting yourself out in many ways to get it done, and we do appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you. We really appreciate that. Thank you, Dennis, and it's worth it. So we hope to hear from you in the return engagement, but if not...
I'll see what I can dig up, and I hope so, and I'll move over and let the caller number 3 step up to the mic, and I'll say God bless.
Right. God bless, Dennis. Jinx. Did we do a jinx?
Yes, we did.
We did another jinx. That's all right.
You're going to make me be quiet throughout the show if you do that.
I'm sorry. No, the jinx are fine. I have a problem with that. It'd be all about hijinks on this. Hey.
Hijinks.
Is that where we say hi at the same time?
Yes, that's exactly what that is. No.
Terrible. Okay. Let's go to a caller that I was just lamenting. Wasn't I just mentioning this the other week that I really, really missed this next caller? And I was looking forward to when he could call again. And my prayers have been answered. We have on the line Chris from Lansing. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening.
How are you?
Oh, let's see. High jinx, low jinx, jack jinx.
All around.
There we go. Life has been interesting, hasn't it, guys?
Oh, boy. Sure has, huh?
All kinds of good things.
It's true.
All kinds of not so good things.
Yep.
And just like you guys already said, gratuitous, over the top, just the way we need to be.
Okay.
Filling Friday's silence with bright noise.
Yes.
Next, we need a zombie apocalypse.
We might have a radioactive bunny / zombie apocalypse.
To fill the mind with a reset while we pause. To dance in the waves as Jose follows Irma, follows Katie, follows Harvey. Rolling by. Glow in the dark or swim in the rain or watch endless unreasoning hate. He ended DACA. He ended DACA in 6 months. So Congress that does nothing gets a chance to do nothing again. Gratuitous, over the top. Endless, unreasoning hate. Live within the world that it seems we didn't really know as we end in ways we didn't expect. You know, Pennywise and the dude that walks, and Darth Vader are made up nightmares, fears we empowered. gratuitous and over the top now. And Friday night. Gotta love it. Anyway, guys.
Wow. I enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Chris. Yeah, I think that's some really pertinent stuff there.
Yeah, especially since I literally just wrote it since you guys started the show.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I said that as you were reading. I said, he wrote this since we started.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, I love that. Up to the minute, Chris.
Yeah, that's what's going on right now.
Yeah.
Life is a wee bit shaky. There are a lot of people out there that are just not thinking. They don't listen to the people that are next to them, and their eyes are closed. Mm-hmm. I don't know how their eyes can be closed. There's just so much anger that they're not even willing to help their neighbor as they drown.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, I know.
You know, Houston got 50-plus inches of rain. And the people that are down there were helping each other out to a point.
Yeah.
And places, other parts of the country were saying, you know, how bad these people were, and that it was justified that, you know, they lose everything and that they drown because of what's in their minds.
Isn't that horrible? It's the privilege of the safe.
What happens to you if it's you and your car, and you know you get washed off the road and you're going down a creek, and the people are standing along the edge, you know, pointing at you and laughing. Hell of a feeling, man. Hell of a feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Florida's got two right now. They got Irma that's coming in, and immediately behind it is another Cat 5, Jose. And they're not even showing that one.
No, you're right, but that is right behind them. And, you know, the people I really worry about, I mean, I worry about everybody there and all their property and stuff. I really worry about the people who can't afford to evacuate or to leave. You know, people who've convinced themselves they have to stay where they are. And
that's the same thing that happened to the people in Houston, except that including the mayor said, you know, he was worried that people get hurt while they were trying to evacuate. So he kept them there and mm-hmm. put them at even more risk.
Yeah. Wow. It's funny to say it like this because it sounds slightly insensitive, but it's, I'm so happy to be able to help and everything, but boy, am I grateful that I wasn't at the epicenter of an earthquake or a hurricane. I would need all the help I could get, and I'd be wanting to provide as much help as I could get if I was in the situation. But man, my heart goes out to them, and I wouldn't wish what they're going through on anybody.
Mexico sent relief to people in Houston.
Yeah.
They just had an 8.1 earthquake.
Yeah.
But they've got a hurricane going into Veracruz right now. They're not talking about that one either. That's three hurricanes right this instant.
Wow.
Right now. Wow. Three. And the only one they're talking about is Irma, and they're saying how it's the strongest earthquake or hurricane ever, and it wasn't. It wasn't even number four. I mean, the media is just building up a lot of gloom and doom.
Well, that's true.
And people are trying to help.
Yeah.
And they're being passed over, and the anger that's being presented, it's just wrong. And it's fear-mongering. Like I said, Pennywise, the dude that walks from the stand.
Yeah, yeah. I knew exactly what you were referencing.
And Darth Vader, they're all made up nightmares. And we're living nightmares right now. We don't need made-up ones.
Yeah, very true.
We really don't. Anyway, guys, I wanted to say hi again. Well, I came last weekend and signed in and saw you guys were off and said a few choice words for the silent.
Well, we're thankful you came back.
Yes.
Well, the least you could do is put some music to play when you're not there.
We could do some Muzak. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Muzak was cheap, you know, and it keeps the airwaves going.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Actually, we could do recordings of me playing guitar and you whistling classic songs, and then we could just loop that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. What have I started? More nightmares. Oh, God.
I think it's getting worse, Chris. It's getting worse. No.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you so much.
You guys had too much time on your hands.
Apparently. All right, Chris, we appreciate you, man. Thanks so much for calling. It's really great to hear your voice. We were talking about it just the other week, so it's great to hear you.
Take care, man.
Okay, you too. And that was Chris calling from Lansing, Michigan. Man, this is great to hear him read again.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, we've been doing some long conversation, but I think there's a lot to talk about tonight, guys. And I'll try to hurry it up. I'm sorry if I'm dragging things, but I feel like every conversation we've had has been a good one. So let's go to someone for which I never have a conversation with. This is someone who we are known to be a model of succinct. Let's go to Philip in Kentucky. Hello, Philip.
Hello. And how does a fire engine go?
It's something basically like this. Ah! for those of you missing the reference, it's my my 2.5-year-old niece Alice is obsessed with how fire trucks sound. And Philip, I have to tell you, I actually tried this out. She was kind of dozing on the couch later that night, and I asked her, Alice, what does a fire truck do? And from her eyes closed, she went immediately into again. You know, it was absolutely amazing.
It was really cute.
It's ridiculous to see it, but yeah, she's a lot.
Oh yeah,
of fun. She's a
and
lot
it's,
of fun.
And it's certainly way more uplifting than hearing about hurricanes and Donald Trump and other woes of the world. You know, so
many bad haircuts in power. There's everybody in power's got such bad haircuts. I have a theory. That's why they're so pissed off all the time.
I think that's as good a guess as any, sir. I can get behind it.
It's the haircut that's the problem.
It's the haircut.
You know, if you just had a hairstyle change, you'd feel so much better. You could just put all this stuff behind you.
I agree. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm going tomorrow.
Are you? Oh, good.
Get shorn. Heck yeah.
Are you? You're getting shorn tomorrow?
I'm going to get shorn. I don't know if everybody knows what being shorn or sheared is, you know.
We're poets. They should be. I mean, I was just concerned about you losing your strength. So, I mean, you might want to have somebody help carry you.
I'm concerned about me all the time. So, yeah, you know.
Yeah, fair enough.
actually, not that this movie needs any advertisements, but I am looking forward to seeing it in the theaters.
There's
tomorrow.
A whole lot of people really into that. So do you think, I really just don't care, but do you think I should go see it? Should I go check the JT?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not offended that you don't want to go see it.
I know.
Stephen King certainly has enough of a fan base.
Oh, I mean, he's going to be fine. Stephen King's fine. And I don't dislike Stephen King at all. It's just really care about. But JT, I know JT's kind of into it. What do you think?
Yeah, I have to wait until it's out Blu-ray or something.
Go ahead. Sorry, okay. JT.
Oh, no, I was saying I have to wait for it to be out on Blu-ray or something so I can pause it, because I don't do scary clowns. I saw the previous one, the miniseries.
Yeah.
Yeah, that set me just going, yeah, let's not mess around. Well, we're done.
So a couple friends of mine who own a special effects company for film in Denver, and they worked on movie Krampus and all this, they just did a big promotion prank thing. They were hired to do. We're in a parking garage where people would pull up. There would be a red balloon floating, and then a guy dressed up like it would come running out of the. And not one time
did someone beat that clown up? No. I would be on that so fast. I would just, I don't care if I'm dying. I'm just going for it. He died beating up a clown. Guys, right. We always knew it was going to end this way.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Anyway. Philip,
yes, sorry, Philip.
I hear a lot of people are really into it, and some people I've seen who've posted, including my cousin, who've already seen it, loved it. So I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, I hope so too. And you know, I think mainly for me, it's I have a nostalgic relationship with this particular novel. I was about 14 when it came out. And it was okay. One of those books that I read, and it really hit me. And it's also a coming-of-age story, and that's always, that's always ripe for all kinds of good storytelling. So, I'm looking forward to it, and I'll tell you what, after I go see it, I'll tell you guys if it's maybe worth your dollar or, wait until it comes out on DVD or whatever.
I would love that, hands up, hands down, hokey pokey scoring method.
Not a problem. I'll happily do so.
Wonderful.
So anyhow, I will get to it, sir.
All right.
And I'll try to read fast because this one's sort of lengthy. So, but you've come to expect that from me, right?
Yeah. I expect it from myself. I just assume everyone else is just following my lead.
All right. Here we go. Short title, long poem. The title: Leaps the Burdened Voice. And here we go. Pitiful staff, this mortal phallus, exposed beneath 4 a.m. moonlight spilled lactiferous, pale opal sylvan landscapes shaped by gritty hands, impressionistic, scented earthy wild, calloused through feral experiences. Rough, undulant hip flesh hillsides undressed, my loveless hallucinations reclined into multiple female oracles whose maternal wisdom eternal whispers seduction from tongues uncoiled, slithered into warm serpentine taboos. My contented plethora of distractions quests madly an anesthetized solace, a loathsome sojourn between pain's cresting waves, scalloped in purple distances, unreachable at the lush shoal's horizon. Pulses, the cervix wreathed crown, spilling lies deep in maiden wombs, recalled in late night ribald detail, the way unsavory men talk over half-empty bottles about seedy exploits. Tell me again how nothing is real when you once more sup my innocence with lascivious appetites, desires aroused behind a darkened masculine secrecy. The same mouth of softly spoken eloquence detailing nebulous philosophical questions or how planets dance their balletic orbits also widens savage as it gorges on rut flesh, sweetened sensuously without regret, glutting the profane like sacrament until one day when op-ed audiences' faces erupt aghast, viscerally incensed. Who really cares anyhow whether it's truthful or horror show hyperbole? Rest assured, prince and princesses, no one listens and sainthood is only anointed post-mortem. Beautiful women I loathe and love, who've evoked passions and the lachrymose, revealed their tantalizing confessions, spun calm as meditative silk, soon entangled, the uncontrollable let go like reins for momentary hysteria. Somewhere across the nameless void echoes a feminine scream, unclenched. My exhausted arms and sore jaws, dedicated to the deviant counsel imparted by my thorough abusers, whose ritual acts became commonplace, dull as sensible routines quotidian. Don Juan gone softly impotent, grown senile amidst bedroom feasts, once proudly stout as his boasts, now limps a unique arrogance across bold stanzas of a clubfoot. Unfinished memoirs written from luxurious stowaway houses whose dusk-lit lunar glossed windows faced the elapsed, the solemnly irrevocable. Witnessing those first virginal yearnings gnawed in the maw of love's nemesis, stained upon those malignant pages, tossed and susened into envisaged pyres, set ablaze for the world entire, airily adrift, my downy black ashes. And there it is.
Very nice, Philip. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, sir.
We did note your use of the word plethora.
Plethora.
JT goes, I wonder if he knows what a plethora is.
I don't know what these stinking words mean. I just put them in there and, you know, hope for the best.
No, it was great. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
I appreciate you guys. So cheers for being back. Thanks for having me. And I'm looking forward to Studio X. And I'm going to get out of the way for the next poet to get in line.
All right.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Cheers.
Cheers. And that was Philip calling from Kentucky, land of Kentucky.
You know,
it kind of works.
It does. I was reading a thing on the Kentucky Fried Chicken Colonel Sanders.
Yeah.
Advertisement.
Fascinating
thing.
Dude.
Well, yeah, the dude, yes. And then the new campaign that they started with all the different Colonel Sanders.
Oh yeah, that was strange.
It was on purpose the whole time.
Well, what do you mean? How was it not on purpose? It's not like they accidentally had the wrong
colonel. The first one that they got was Daryl Hammond,
who was on SNL
and all that.
Right, yeah.
He went full on, talked to the guy's family, learned how his speech pattern was, everything. And, yeah, he went method because he thought he was going to be, they never told him it was going to change. They never told him.
So he did. He went 6 weeks of in-depth Kentucky Fried Chicken research and just got fired
Colonel
up
Sanders.
In the first one.
Yeah. And Norm MacDonald tweeted the moment he got it, he goes, that was a dumb move. They should have kept Daryl Hammond the whole time.
Wait, he got hired
when
Norm MacDonald got hired, he went on Twitter and was like, those idiots should never have hired me.
No, they should have never fired Daryl.
Oh, so they should have had two colonels.
The whole time.
Dude, two colonels. Imagine the power of those advertisements.
That would have been awesome. Sorry.
Yeah, you could have a family, and you're like, wow, we need to have dinner, but I'm so exhausted. And one colonel shows up and hands her the food. And she's like, wow, the fact that this is so convenient almost makes up for the fact that this creepy old man just showed up and knew what was going on. And then she turns, and as she turns at the back door, There's another colonel standing there with the stuff, and she went, what? And then you could do the thing where it zooms in on their eyes, and they get in a colonel fight.
Ooh.
See? And it's a kung fu Kentucky Fried. Yeah, Kentucky Fried Foo fight. Okay.
It's not working.
Let's, most of my life isn't working. Let's go to Jim in Pennsylvania. Jim, we need some salad to save us. How are you, man? I'm not hearing Jim. Jim, if you can hear us, we can't hear you. Just hang up and give us a call right back. We'll take it live. We're going to go Bill O'Reilly style and do it live. Yeah, that's what it is. So, JT, what was your motivation for playing Shaft at the beginning of the show?
I don't know. I saw it in my music volumes. I was like, really? I have this? And I'm like, let's play it.
Dude, why wouldn't you have that? Shaft is an amazing tune.
It's weird. I was watching... And it's a comedy movie, totally cheesy, and it's done on purpose. Most cheesy films are, but it is actually done on purpose.
Really?
Was Black Dynamite, and it just...
Oh, dude, good movie.
Great movie.
Good movie. Let's go.
All right, Jim.
Jim in Pennsylvania. How are you, sir?
Pretty good.
All right, we're happy to have you on.
Yeah, thank you. So, that whole Colonel thing.
Yes.
Have you seen what they've been doing with it lately?
No.
So you have George Hamilton, the extra tasty, the extra crispy Colonel.
Uh-huh.
They still have Norm. They had Rob Lowe. And WWE has done what?
Yep.
Shawn Michaels as the Colonel.
Wow. So are they riffing on Doctor Who with Colonel Sanders?
No, they're just flavoring them.
No. Well, they did this one with all these people auditioning. They had Enzo. They had Goldust, R-Truth. Becky Lynch, The Big Show. one of the guys from the tag team, the Hype Bros.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was all around, and they had Shawn Michaels. He was already dressed. They tore off his coat.
Yeah.
And he had a T-shirt with a bow tie on it.
Why would Shawn Michaels have that? Yeah.
With his theme music. And it said, the KFC. And it's like, oh, good grief.
Wow.
I don't think he's cute, and I don't think he's sexy.
You sound just like JT.
He was saying that about Shawn. I wasn't saying that about JT. He was saying that about Shawn. Let's just move
on. I knew what you meant.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I'm cute. I know I'm sexy. And it's like he's in the middle of the ring doing this, but it has KFC up on the Titantron. It's like, oh, for crying out loud. I mean, I like Shawn Michaels, but no, he's no Colonel.
I think they know their marketing. I think they know who they're marketing to.
Yeah.
Right? Am I wrong? I'm not wrong. JT's nodding now.
Yeah, you're totally right.
Okay.
They know.
Yeah, and good for them. Yep. Good for them.
Still, it's ridiculous. Anyway, Jim, what do you got for us? I'm sure we're boring people with chicken and wrestling talk. That could be a whole other show, though.
That's a really interesting show.
We eat chicken and talk about wrestling.
All I can say is about KFC's chicken, it's real foul. F-O-W-L.
Nice. Beautiful. Jim, okay. You have now won the title for the week of the the World Poetry Open Mic Punisher Award. All right, there you go, man. So what do you have for us?
Okay, so one I wrote yesterday or the day before. It's called The State of Trees in St. Valentine's Forest. They saw the oak had died with half the other trees, so they chose not to plant one of their own. End of poem.
Wow. I actually really like that one. What'd you think?
It's good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Great work, Jim. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really appreciate
it. At first, I had trouble trying to decide what to title it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's like after I asked for some advice, it was like, hey, this might work.
Huh. Yeah, no, I actually really thought it worked.
And I thought it might actually be kind of give a bit of a clue to what I'm actually talking about. Mm-hmm. Though it might not if people don't understand what St. Valentine is really known for.
Sure. All those massacres. No, I'm totally kidding, Jim. No, you're right. You're right. Absolutely.
But yeah, it's like people think St. Valentine's, they don't realize that why he was martyred is because he was officiating marriages to the young men when it was supposed to be illegal.
Right. That's right. That's something. All right. Hey, Jim. Appreciate it, man. We appreciate you and appreciate your work. And we hope to hear from you in at the return engagement, but you understand sometimes you have other commitments, so. Either way.
I have to be in it. I have to be up at 5, but I'm going to try and go for the return engagement.
Okay.
Tonight.
We'll see what we can do. Hopefully we can speed it along a little bit, but we can hope we can hear it so you get some sleep.
Yeah. Well, I'm not the center of everything, so.
Yeah, but you need to sleep, young man. I remember this being an issue before.
I'm not so young. I turned 47 in about 6 months.
All right. Well, hey, you know, until then, you're 46 and a half.
Okay.
I hang around kids all day, Jim. We think about quarter years and months. I'm 10 and 2 months. Okay. All right. That's very specific. All right. Jim, thanks so much.
Hey, thank you.
All right. And that was Jim calling from Pennsylvania, land of...
Go ahead and say it.
Of, well, artwork.
Artwork.
Land of artwork.
Well, this is good.
Yeah, you know, well, they have pencils there.
Uh-huh.
And therefore, Amish. And they do have artwork.
They have
Amish. But the Amish don't care. I can't. How can I say anything? I'm not going to say anything to play to the Amish crowd. They're not listening.
Not yet, but someday in the future.
See, one day they'd be like, what would you say, Jebediah, if we just pushed this year that we're living in forward 100 years, what would happen? Then they might be, maybe we need to go, hey, you know what? Maybe we need to go to terrestrial radio and get syndicated. So when they do that, maybe not. That's a dumb idea. Anyway, so at the end of this segment, I promised that we were going to have a new set of hints for our World Poetry Open Mic.
Yeah.
September 2017 Poet of the Month.
Uh-huh.
And I will not disappoint because I have three clues.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yes. And this is a poet that's actually very close to my heart. It's someone my father was great friends with someone who was apparently best friends with this poet.
Cool.
So there's a clue. Now you know they're more modern. Okay.
Okay.
Clue number one. A Journal of Moonlight. Clue number two. The Awake Sleeper. And number one, The Shy Photographer. Wait, did I just screw up the numbers? Number one, Journal of Moonlight. Number two, The Awake Sleeper. Number three, I read the list in reverse. Number three, The Shy Photographer, Poet of Picture Poems.
Ah.
And those are your three hints for the Poet of the Month for September 2017. If you figure out who it is, don't put it in the chat room, you jerk. Don't spoil it for everybody else. Send us a message. You can send it to us through email, worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. I'm having a hard time tonight.
Yeah, you are.
Hey, I'm a little rusty.
A little rusty.
We hadn't taken a week off in a while, man.
Rusty.
Well, it happens. Weird. I was traipsing at this time last week. And let us know. And we'll come up with something. Maybe we'll take a picture of JT wearing a banana hat. And that will be your prize. All right. And now, before we go farther, I have a submission. Can I read a submission? Or should I read it at the front of the next segment?
How many do we have?
We have several, actually.
Let's read one now.
I'm going to do one right now. And this one, let me pull it up here, is from Fempe Koyish.
Okay.
In Africa. And here he goes. Distillery in my soul. The distillery in my soul cannot stop brewing these sweet gins. For in the hearts of my heart, it has been planted deep, coated and galvanized. No reactions of hatred, maltreatment, discriminations, discouragements, and demoralization of fans and foes can corrode. Not even a bolt will be turned loose by these. For the foundations are firm and fit, structure well planned. Its blueprints can be found in the archives of my soul. The best of gins I promise to brew forever. The finest ever to booze. The hovering ghost of Shakespeare and my beloved Dickens. Best ever made. Signed and approved by the accreditation boards of heaven. Best enough to digest the hard labors of my favorite hardy. With the superb yeast reactions ever that cannot be compared to that of Yeats. A gin that knows what good can do to the soul. For indeed, it's from the soul. That which, when tasted, will maintain the manners of the brewer and uphold the image of its distillery, rather than sail the sailors from Anne to Elliot. A gin very inflammable enough to light the darkened souls and intoxicate all minds and make mirror the greatest works of De La Mer. A gin that will make all souls be at ease and encouraged to go gentle into every good night. And this gin, which flows through the delivery tubes in between the tips of my fingers, bottled up in the white sheets of my days. And that was by Fempe Koyish, Distillery in My Soul. Powerful, powerful piece. Fempe, if you're listening, that was incredible. I'm going to send you an email back on that, but wow. Really powerful. Yeah.
Really good.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
All right. What a way to end that segment. Let's get ready to do a second one. Are you almost ready, JT, or am I pushing it too hard?
Oh, I'm fine.
Are you good?
Yeah.
All right.
I can't type tonight. It's all good.
Hey, you know what? There's a lot of issues going on tonight. You're not typing. You're still flying. I'm kind of just trying to function over here. All right. So let's do it. We're trying to look for five more unique colors. 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. Hey, Christine.
Yes, Michael.
Have you ever seen Sweeney Todd?
No, most people who go see him never come back.
I know. I guess I'm just hungry. Ba-doom-tsh. If you've ever seen Sweeney Todd, You know what real pain is.
You know, so...
I actually really like that movie.
That thing that we have...
Yeah.
It just brought to mind The Office, their Sweeney Todd episode, the play.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. JT's now going through The Office through for a project that he and I have been working on for a while. And it's interesting hearing you talk about it because I haven't seen that show in years.
I know,
and
I'm just watching it going, wow.
That's it's a thing.
Yep.
It's a thing.
It was totally a thing that I totally missed.
Yeah, well, you know, you and the French Revolution, it's missing a lot there too.
No, I will rewatch The Office.
You're missing so much with the French Revolution.
I am not missing a thing.
They even slightly played that off in the storyline of The Lion King, and I can't believe that you have not seen that either.
Nope.
We need to make sure, maybe we could do a day where you just watch The Lion King and French Revolution movies.
No, let's not do the French Revolution movies. It really does.
No, I know, man. I'm totally playing around with you. Totally playing around. We all have these periods in history that we dislike.
It is so strange that is the thing for me that I don't, for whatever reason, it just annoys me.
Huh.
I don't know why. Interesting. It's important, so I don't discredit it, and I know it had to happen. These things, you know, it's just a period I don't like.
Fair enough, man. Fair enough. Let's do this. I have a thought.
Uh-oh.
A real effing thought. I spelled that EFFING.
Yes, I know you did.
Thank you. I think I'm going to do another submission.
Oh, good.
But I need you to stall for like 2 seconds.
Okay, so...
Stall, JT, stall.
I'm stalling.
Okay, keep going. Let's get a little World War II joke going there.
Oh,
all right.
You know what happened this past time that we were off?
What's that?
Christine was officially...
Oh, that's right.
Baptized.
I am
her godfather. So great.
I am now Christine's godfather. That is the truth.
It's so awesome.
100%.
Yeah.
All right. Which was great, by the way.
Yeah, that was it was a good time.
Yeah,
I liked that.
It was. By the way, I had a whole bunch of revenge carried out while we were at the service. So I'll tell you about that later.
Now that
I'm the godfather, figure out the time for revenge is during a Catholic service.
Absolutely. Keeps you away from the...
Exactly. See?
I know how this thing works.
I have a serious alibi.
This is good.
All right. Here we go. This is a submission from Don Hagelberg.
Oh, yes.
And here's a preamble. There is one short poem which was published in Street Spirits in March of 2016. This poem is released for placement on the air of our show here. It was chosen because, as a poet, we may be able to appear here, too, if we submit. This is not a paying market, it's a publication credit, but first the poem. Okay, so I think Street Spirits is what he's referring to here. Here we go. From Don Hagelberg, it's called Room. Off the streets, in a simple room of an occupied hotel, I am still homeless by those who pass out laws, like the right to starve for the of us who throw up when forced to vote. And that was Room by Don Hagelberg. That's pretty powerful stuff, man.
Yeah, it was.
Always appreciate you, Don. Thank you so much. And if I got something wrong on that, like, just please send us another email. I'll correct it on the air. And we definitely want to help people be able to find something great. Speaking of which, if you want to submit work, if you want your work published,
yes,
you can also support the show at the same time.
Yes.
Send it to us. We've been starting to get all kinds of anthology submissions. I'm really excited to see that. I think the book's going to turn out to be great this year. But we always have room for more people. So if you know people who you think would be a great fit that would really contribute to the overall thing of the poem, have them submit to us. worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. And just write in the subject line, submission for anthology or anthology submission, something like that, just so we know what it is. And I don't just blab it on the show because, apparently I'm an unbridled id occasionally when it comes to reading poetry.
Yeah.
So yeah. We'll just go with that. All right. Now... we are here in the second segment. And you know what that means? This is a twofer.
It's a twofer.
We only had two callers.
Yeah, we only did.
But it's our first week back, and I understand there's a lot going on. So let's go to my favorite voice of the apocalypse. Hopefully he doesn't have to start reading that stuff soon. to Stan in Alabama. Stan, hello, my friend. Are you there?
Oh, yeah. I am here.
Wonderful. Wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How y'all doing?
We're doing pretty well. We're happy to be back. I enjoyed the week off last week, but it does feel a little strange to not be on the show.
Always does.
I hear you. Yeah, we kind of missed you guys, too. I was go there Friday and realize, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hope they're having fun.
Well, you know, I was walking around to a bunch of, we were at an art walk. So, Dan, we have a pretty nice art district down here in Denver. And so I was walking around looking at the work of a bunch of local artists, which was a good night.
And I drove by you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. JT drove by twice. He waved and I just tried to ignore him.
Yeah. So it's all good.
It's vacation. Yeah. I want to get away from this.
Just he waves, he's honking, Hey Michael. Hey Michael. And I turned around and said, JT, I'm on vacation. So anyway, sorry about that, Stan.
Marlena Dietrich on him. I want to be alone.
I've got a lot more Zsa Zsa Gabor operating in my personality than I care to admit.
Oh.
I know. Let's go. We don't need to go deep there. Let's just.
Well, I should hope not.
Exactly. I hope not too. All right. So Stan, before we get too deep into this, what do you have for us?
Well, actually, I thought I'd just go ahead and read that poem that went into the garden.
Wonderful.
You know, and, you know, this is for everybody at the garden, and especially a shout-out for Titus for that excellent two-word prompt.
Wasn't it a good one?
I had fun with this.
I really did, too. I really had fun with that one also.
Yeah, I was going to suggest, no pressure, but since you and JT both have excellent speaking voices, maybe some of those new submissions that you read in between the sets.
Yeah.
How about something from JT Gunter and Michael Amade?
Maybe we should. I mean, we tend to kind of shy away from that a little bit because we don't want to be self-indulgent.
That's very true.
However,
But 5 years. How many have you really done?
Oh,
good
enough.
Point.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. We've done a few.
Okay.
Sound good?
Good point. Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll do it for sure. We'll do it.
All right. I'd love to hear it. I really would.
All right.
Okay. Well, let's get to this business now. Something a little lighter on the evening. Desire deterred. 'Twas an age of pomp and elegance well-defined, where men's prowess and appetites were regaled, held in high regard, having wife and concubine. 'Twas also an air of ardent but epic fails, brought by miles of slips, corsets, and bustiers. Worst of the lot, those dreaded fardingales. Dreams of women naked, not stitch in the way. The desires of one's loins in reach and unimpeded. Such fantasies could rule men's thoughts in those days. But reality left such hopes dashed and unheeded. In tight lacing, stays, cloth, and hoops of distraction. Thus firm resolve, now flaccid, as passion's ardor receded. A curse on women's wear and their hellish contraptions. Be more the devil's contraception than statements of fashion. End poem.
Very nice. That's right. I enjoyed reading that one this last week, and I really enjoyed the reading there, too.
I know. Like I said, I had fun with this. I really did.
Yeah. Is there a good prompt? I mean, I think, you know, having a good prompt is actually a kind of an art form, and Titus really seems to have it.
Oh, did he ever. Because just the themselves, concubine and farthingale, sets you in a time period.
Right. Very much.
You know, it basically builds the image in the scene for you. It was wonderful.
And they weren't too. I mean, they were separate enough where you could pull things apart, and go mm-hmm. after a certain element. However, they did give you something. If should you choose to go the route, you could you could follow the imagery there, you know, if you wanted to.
Oh, yeah. It was. I had a ball. And I loved reading every single poem, too. They were all great.
It was great. Yeah, that was actually a lot of fun. And I definitely will read some more. And I think I look forward to seeing the kind of work that keeps coming into the garden.
Absolutely.
All right.
Well, I'm going to let you gentlemen go and get on to the next one.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Stan. Appreciate you.
My pleasure.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. And that was Stan calling from Alabama, laying down something he submitted to the Garden of Poetry and Prose. If you're wondering what that is, it's on Facebook. It's a Facebook group. And JT and I were invited, and we both participated by sharing something that was part of the prompt that was chosen by Titus. But Diane, who's a big listener to the show, we hope she's okay. She lives in Florida, but, man, I just don't know.
Yeah, she is – oh, man. I can't remember what part. She's south. I know she is. Okay, so I'm hoping that she is just up and out.
Our thoughts are with her, and
she's not in Miami. So that's one thing I do know. She is not Miami.
Okay, all right. She's in Tampa. That's what.
Okay,
James is saying. So
thank
Tampa.
You. Yeah,
that's
Tampa.
Right.
So
yeah. Home of the Bucks.
Yep, that right. are not playing. This week.
Yeah, well.
The two Miami teams. The two Miami teams.
Yes.
The two Florida teams are not playing this year. This week.
This year. Yes.
They're actually, this is considered their bye week. Oh. So they will not have a bye week. They are going to play straight through. 16 straight games.
Oh, cool.
Good
for them. That's what happens when you make millions of dollars for a few hours of work. All right, here we go. Let's go to Mary in Arizona. Mary, how are you?
Oh, there.
Ha, there we go. Sorry.
Hey there, Mary.
I'm going to hit it. Who am I going to hit it with?
You know, you hit JT. I don't know what you have over there. So unless it's something pleasant.
You know, there's only like 90, 93, 97 degrees, kind of humid, kind of fluffy, kind of winter. No, not winter in Arizona. I don't even know what.
Did you say 97 degrees in winter in the same sentence?
Shut up. You know, that's what my life is now. That's what my life is now.
Fair enough.
123, baby. I don't go outside. I melt. I'm bronze, you know. I got like skin cancer things on my face.
Oh no, that's not good. Skin cancer's not good. Let's not do that.
I'm watching it.
Okay, good.
I got my hat. I got a little hat.
You got a hat. Water. All right. Everybody, Mary's got a hat.
Everyone in Arizona who goes out in the sun needs a hat.
Like, they do need a hat.
They do.
I went to a used place. You know, I don't know if it was a antique. With a friend, it was a very nice hat. I paid like $6.99 for it. I'll go on with my poem after this. I paid $6.99. It was like a Panama one. It was so good. You could roll it up in your pocket. Like, I was good. I could wear it. And then I washed it and I put it in the dryer.
Wow. Okay. Well, the adventures of this hat should be cataloged. And this is something I'm suggesting. However,
I go without hats. You know, I accept that my life is without a hat, and now I'm going to do a poem now after I've gone on and on rambling.
That's all right.
I've gone on to all these poems and reading a lot and librarying and all this stuff that I try to do here, and I found Judith Wright, who is married to Jack McKinney. They both did some poetry. They're from Australia. She died in 2000 at 85. But the beautiful poem she did, I'm going to read for you. It's called Woman to Man. The eyeless laborer in the night. The selfless, shapeless seed I hold builds for its resurrection day. Silent and swift and deep from sight foresees the unimagined light. This is no child with a child's face. This has no name to name it by. Yet you and I have known it well.
This is our hunter and our chase, the third who lay in our embrace. This is the strength that your arm knows, the arc of flesh that is my breast, the precise crystals of our eyes. This is the blood's wild tree that grows, the intricate and folded rose. This is the maker and the made. This is the question and reply, the blind head butting at the dark, the blaze of light along the blade. Oh, hold me, for I am afraid. End poem.
Wow.
Isn't that nice?
That was amazing. Nice one. Yeah, great choice, and a wonderful read, too. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Onward, yo, and ho, and love to poetry.
We love having you on the show, and it means a lot to us to have you around. Thank you, Mary.
Oh, you're going to make me giggle and all that? No, I ain't going to accept that.
All right, we just do it the other way. Thanks, Mary.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Mary, thanks so much. Have a good night. And that was Mary Kahn from Arizona in that lovely 97-degree winter that she has.
Nope. Not going to do it. Nope.
Don't say that phrase.
Not gonna
are you
do it.
You're doing the George Bush.
Not gonna do it. Wouldn't be prudent.
Yeah, I can't do
remember
that.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I remember.
I used
it very
to do
well.
That. I used to do that in front of my parents' friends, and my family. Back when I was a kid, I used to do impersonations to try to make everybody laugh.
Well,
it works sometimes.
It works.
It does okay. Actually. All right. You know what? There's a mystical place we should go to, JT.
Yeah.
And it's not the garden.
Okay.
But it exists in another dimension. It's called Studio X. Should we go there now?
Sure. All right. Hang on. Ready?
Okay. All right. Ready?
Breathe in.
I'm going to hold my breath. Clench. Can I stop clenching now?
Yes.
Okay. I feel like it's a workout.
It is.
You know? You're like 6-minute abs with that thing.
If you don't, you just... throws you apart. It's really bad.
The clenching, it's not bad.
No.
It's not a bad thing. No. All right, so I have two things I want to do tonight, if that's okay. And they're kind of relatively short, so it shouldn't be too bad. One, we received word today, among a bunch of other things, that country legend Don Williams passed away. And some of you might remember that a few years back, I did a challenge where I was doing a different song every week for the show. And one of the songs I did was a Don Williams song. And this is the one I did. I'm going to go back and kind of redo it. I haven't done it in a while, so hopefully it works out. But I'd like to dedicate this to Steve Barry, who I know is a big Don Williams fan. So this is called Some Broken Hearts Never Mend. Coffee black, cigarette, start this day like all the rest. The first thing every morning that I do is start missing you. Some broken hearts never mend. Some memories never end. Some tears will never dry. My love for you will never die. Rendezvous in the night. Willing woman to hold me tight. But in the middle of love's embrace, I see your face. Some broken hearts never mend. Some memories never end.
Some tears will never dry. My love for you will never die.
And that was for Steve Barry in memory of Don Williams. Thank you.
Very pretty.
Thank you. So this next one I'm going to do, and so for those of you, most of you know, I'm a music teacher at a Catholic school, which means that on a pretty regular basis, every week I'm performing and playing at a mass and leading them. And one of the things that we chose a theme for this year, which I really think matters, is that peace begins with me. So that the idea is that
it's good.
Peace is a choice and it's your responsibility.
Yes.
And this is a church song, but the lyrics are by St. Francis, or attributed to St. Francis. Of course, this is a translation. But wherever you fall in the religious spectrum, I feel like this song can connect if you let it. And in a time like this, I think it matters. So this is Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, your faith in you. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, only light. And where there's sadness, ever joy. Oh, Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console. To be understood as to understand. To be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. In giving to a man that we receive. And in dying that we're born to eternal life. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, your faith in you. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, only light. And where there's sadness, ever joy. Make me a channel of your peace. Make me a channel of your peace. Make me a channel of your peace. All right. So now it's time for us to go back into the return engagement. That means anyone who's called in, anyone who wants to call in, you're all welcome. We're just going to fill up the line and see how far we can go. 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or the Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
By the power of Grayskull.
Okay. Anyway... How did I know that we weren't going to be out of studio action? I was going to be shot back through the dimension.
Epic.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Sorry, I forgot to hit that return button quicker.
All right. So that's okay. That's okay. So here we go. So now we're back here in the return engagement, and we've got some great poets lined up. I think we should just get straight into it because I know there's people on the east side.
Well,
yes, sir.
We were requested to read something.
Oh, that's right. Do you have something you want to read?
Well, I could read my poem.
I think you should. I think we should. I think we should go directly in our minds to the top of the peakiest peak, where we find a small shack, and inside that small shack, we find the Haiku Master.
I pray you the Haiku Master.
There can only be one. Are you ready?
I think I am, but I'm not reading any haikus today.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. You didn't write a haiku. Well, that doesn't matter.
Oh, I'm just letting you know.
You could be a haiku master. I could be like, he's a master making sandwiches, and he wrote a poem. So here we go. I mean, but
I just wanted to not let everybody's hope up for haikus.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's true. That wasn't high true. It was high false.
Wow.
Thanks. Thank you for that.
Oh.
Yep.
So.
It's hard being a genius.
It's hard being a genius. Yeah, sure is.
Maybe one day you'll know what that feels like, Michael.
Oh. Okay. So, per requested by Stan.
Yes.
My beloved. You layer upon your corset and farthingale the colors that pronounce your title and position. Tight they hold your in your breath and hiding marvelous treasures. The day, the public eye, a wife, a companion, a cohort. Leading to wondrous deals with others, making them bend to our will. The night, solitary. A concubine, a geisha, a temptress. When in the passions of night, allowing you to burst with your inner self, the mind of true wit in conversation, while the physical to rival any first-time lover's heat. Body and mind as one both day and night, a dragon to the end.
Feels a little awkward for me to be applauding this right now.
Woo! Well, Thank you.
No, very good job, man. Very good job.
Thank you.
Hey, by the way, in case you were wondering who wrote this, it was the Haiku Master.
I pray you the Haiku Master.
One. Okay, so we're back. That was really good, man.
Thank you.
It was really good. I think that was, yeah. I was happy to see you do that. I was happy to see you flex the poetry muscle. You know?
It was a little different.
Yeah, it's good to step outside of the.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's head to Chris in Lansing. That's a great way to lead off here. Hey, Chris, you there?
Last time I checked.
Woo! Good.
Yeah, hope so.
Okay.
All right. Well, so we're back here in the return engagement.
The only caller.
Yes. Anyway.
Oh,
all right. we just get going. We just go off the rails here sometimes, Chris. You know, it's the poets who pull us back.
That explains it. It really does.
Oh, well, I'm glad someone has an explanation.
You don't want to go there.
Fair enough. Trust me. Fair enough. All right, so what do you have for us this time?
I've got a thought. Now, we often pause during our day, wherever we might be, and get some thoughts. And sometimes we have a journal and we'll write them down and come back to them maybe later that evening or the next day and write a little bit more. But occasionally, just occasionally, we're graced with a moment where a person just catches your imagination. And then the rest is history. This is called Rachmaninoff. Sigh. Every damn time I pause with you, thoughts begin to flow. They have their own consciousness and validity, direction, even sense. Breath, breadth, and depth. Pressure of existence. And even a touch of understanding. I hear you and don't just react to a now, to risen memories, to un- or mind-fulfilled desires, to wishes for a love, or sexuality-fueled intensities. I hear you. Thoughts flow and continue on their own to wonder and wander, to pause, to grow, to question and view, expand and breathe, to peer into the person I am and existence as I feel it. Damn. Seems you give my soul a smile, huh? Just being you. And me, just being me. That is how life happens. There you go.
Very nice. I really enjoyed that.
It was good.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's what we do.
Yeah, that's true. That is what we do. How's your, thank you for that. I wanted to ask you, how's your work going with the poet laureate over there? Are you still working with him?
We've got the Lansing Poetry Club is building up for a really strong new year. We've got open mics and presentations with several poet laureates.
Wonderful.
From Lansing, from Grand Rapids. We've got several published authors that are going to give some presentations, and we've got some students here from Michigan State University that are going to come by and show us what they've got to do.
Yeah. Well, wonderful. I'm happy to hear that it's. I'm happy to hear that it's. You know, it's been going well. We've been thinking about it and hoping that things were picking up steam there.
Well, it's going good. I'm gonna let you guys go because the line seems to have crickets in it.
Okay. All right, Chris.
All right. Thank you.
Talk to you later.
All right.
Take care, man.
You too. And that was Chris calling from Lansing, Michigan, a voice we haven't heard in a while and a much appreciated voice.
Yes.
All right. Speaking of appreciated voices, and I'm really happy he's early on because I know how early he has to get up.
Yeah.
Let's go to Jim in Pennsylvania.
Hang on.
Land of the Philly cheesesteaks, Danielle.
And sinkholes.
And sinkholes.
Okay.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Terra Inferma is what they should have called that state.
Well, there is a large sinkhole east of us on Route 422.
Yikes.
And it's right by the bowling alley, which has a restaurant there called The Sinkhole.
Wow.
That's, yeah.
Where, and then the tagline is, where you might actually die in a sinkhole?
But yeah, well this that section of the road repeatedly gets a sinkhole. But this time, that they closed off that whole section of 422 east and westbound.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's like just to get over to Walmart, we got to take the rabbit trail.
So wait. To go to Walmart, you had to drive over a sinkhole? This makes so much sense. No. I mean, I understand what he was saying. They've rerouted. Okay. Okay. But I was saying originally you would have to drive over a sinkhole. That sounds like Walmart kind of practices to me. I mean, I think that's just normal stuff, isn't it?
That area has always been, always gets the same, the sinkhole keeps
coming up.
Coming.
Huh.
Wow.
And it just, this time, expanded. It covers the entire road, and it's getting into the parking lot of the bowling alley.
Yikes.
But yeah, before, we really didn't have a whole lot of problems until they started developing that area.
Interesting.
Because it used to be that there was a whole stretch of the road, nothing but open field.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, well, there's a lot of limestone in our area.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Rain, and I think there's supposed to be an underground river or stream in here.
There might be a bat cave around you, Jim. I'm just throwing that out there.
Well, we do have caverns in this area, and it is a lot of limestone.
Mm.
So, but it is what it is.
It's a sinkhole, man.
Yeah.
Well, I live on the other end of town from it, so I haven't had the experience of, like, going into those, becoming a subterranean dwelling.
Yet.
And hopefully it never happens.
Yeah, hopefully not, too. I agree. All right, what do you have for us?
Well, it's a bit of a serious one again, and I wrote that back in October of 2006. Called These Deadly Days. These deadly days when the innocent are slaughtered by the score, gunned down in the hallway, executed by the blackboard, murdered in the womb. As the blood of a generation dries on our hands, we slowly begin not to care. End of poem.
Nice. Short and sweet.
Sort of.
Thank you.
Well, not sweet, sweet. Come on. Metaphor.
You're using those words. Yes. No, yes, it was good, yes. Though. I did enjoy it.
No, I definitely did enjoy it. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem.
We're happy to have you anytime, man. Thanks so much.
Yep.
And that was Jim calling from Pennsylvania, land of sinkholes. And the restaurant called The Sinkhole were, quote, you're actually above a sinkhole.
Yeah. Sorry. I have my own weird things about sinkholes. They freak me out.
Do they?
Yeah.
What if there was a sinkhole with a scary clown in it?
That's a bit much.
I think so. Is that too? Does that override the scare factor?
I think so. I would probably look down into the sinkhole and go and laugh at him, going, ha, try and get out.
Yeah, no, but I mean, like, you go down the sinkhole, like you fall in. You go to the sinkhole in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I would.
And you fall in, and you're like, "Wow, this is ironic." And then there's a clown.
Yeah.
Would you fight back?
Yeah, definitely. At that point, yeah.
I believe that. I think you'd fight back no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
Actually. Yeah.
Hey, Stan. If you can hear me, go ahead and try and call in.
Are we starting to have Scott? Oh,
No. It just dropped, and I just saw him pop in, and then it hung up. So I don't
know. Yeah, just give us a call back here. We'll do a live.
Yeah, not a problem.
Doing a live.
unless he posts something, then he has to reboot.
No, there he is. He's calling right now.
Ready?
All right, let's take him live. Hello, Stan. You're on live. How are you, sir?
I'm back. I don't know what happened. I just disappeared there for a minute for some reason.
It was really weird.
It might be a Skype thing. We're not exactly sure. I think one of these days we'll figure out a better solution.
I hear that.
I think that'd just be a good T-shirt. One of these days I'll find out a better solution.
There you go.
All right.
Until then, we'll work with what we have.
Exactly.
All right. I figured that given the one Jim did, which was pretty serious and solid, I thought I'd do one that was kind of serious as well, given the days we're in right now.
Sure.
And this is called Fortune of War. Words of discord and anger increase, leaders and elders falling from peace. Fear and rage driven to action, to stop an alleged evil faction. The call to war, now all that is heard. A grizzled old warrior is given the word. So again he gears up, weapon in hand, to kill or be killed in defense of his land. Beside him many young warriors stand, their lives placed in fate's fickle hands. From sense of duty, faith their courage derived, to protect home they bravely offer their lives. But the old warrior's eyes know the truth, sees doubt and fear in those eyes of youth. No soldier knows the strength of their metal until it's tested in the forge of battle. Old warrior hardened through several wars, proof of his resolve not in metals but scars. To battle they go, each to his fate. The enemy awaits through war's hellish gates. Blasts worse than thunders, bullets whistles, chill hearts. The old warrior gets lower, knows this is only the start. Get down, eat dirt, the old warrior's voice growls. Heard over the blast and the wounded's howls. When you move, stay low. When you aim, when you shoot, aim true. With good aim, faith, and luck, you can make it through. So into the hell that is war go young and old. How long was this battle? Many fallen turned cold. Wounded screams, shells sing, smell blood and smoke with each breath. Bearing witness, unblinking eyes, all around you, death. Smoke clears, the haze lifts, this battle now is done. What price in human life for this ground that's been won? Red streams from the young warrior, the true price made clear. When a young warrior's blood is joined by an old warrior's tears, gratitude and ceremonies, flag-draped coffins are received, while families and loved ones have great losses to grieve. What value in their loss if this madness doesn't end? What sense of our humanity if we let it start again? Give peace a chance, you give them a chance at a life renewed. Best way to show them and their families our love and gratitude. End poem.
That's a really affecting piece, Stan.
Very.
And I have to say, at the very beginning, so we mute the microphones, so you're the only one who heard anything, but I'll just say it on the air here. So you started talking, and I just had this, I was moved really quickly, and I looked at JT, and I go, you know, if in the middle of all, and I was thinking, if in the middle of all this stuff, in the human condition, if a certain country that begins with North and ends with Rhea decides to do something with the nuclear bomb, they're just, I'm not going to use the word, just being real jerks. Like, that's just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. We don't need to be doing these kinds of things.
Yeah.
And so that really instantly the piece triggered that in me, but really enjoyed the
really
whole thing.
Piece.
And I'm so sorry that I said that and it threw you off guard. I didn't mean to do that.
On the contrary. That was the point of the piece. We do not need to go back to the madness of the missiles of October. We do not need this.
Absolutely.
I mean, that was crazy. I mean, we just, this is such a weird era now. We have, from those times and from the times of McCarthyism, we are supposed to have progressed forward.
Wait. Yeah. Wait, are you saying we're supposed to move forward? Damn it, JT.
Yeah, it gets the word better. You know, it's kind of, you know, you don't even have to take it as a social comment.
No. Right.
Look at your physical selves. You have not got eyes in the back of your heads because you're not supposed to back up.
You know what? Perfect. Well, and you know, the thing is I feel like there are a lot of places where we do advance, and we have advanced. I feel like it's really interesting to see how the internet has shaped the way we do things, because there is so much of the fear mongering. But we're seeing a thing that I think at any point in history, if you had given us the internet, we probably would have seen the same sort of hysteria and things at play. Now we can actually see why human beings deserve a lot of the problems that they invite on themselves. Not talking about natural disasters, obviously. But, you know, I've always maintained, no matter what my opinion is, as a country or whatever country you're in, we have exactly the leaders we deserve because we give them the oxygen.
Complacency is one of the circumstances that brings this about.
Absolutely.
Yep. People 100%. Have got to be willing to step up and speak up.
Yep. And do the work.
And as far, and a little thought there as far as that backwards goes.
Yeah.
You know, if you really were thinking seriously about walking backwards, you'd pretty much would have to have your head where your ass is, wouldn't you?
Hey, I know a lot of people like that.
I know.
Occasionally, yeah. I shift
and
it's
amazing. We have leaders that can do that with their foot in their mouth. Isn't that great?
Contortionists on a whole other level.
Oh, yeah. I guess everybody's got to have a talent.
You know what? I've hung around politicians before on different sides of the whole thing. I was actually a campaign manager. Do you know
that's
that,
right.
JT?
That's right.
And at one point, and I got to tell you, no matter what side they're from, I think they all deserve each other. That's my look at it.
What amazes me is I've watched this with the presidents too. They go in with this amazing rhetoric, whether they're conservative or liberal, doesn't matter.
Yep.
Doesn't matter. They go in with this great rhetoric. Then something happens. They get in Washington, and there's just something about that town where all of that just seems to melt away. And this is a guy up there you're looking at and going, who the hell are you? Where'd you go? That's not what I voted for. Who are you?
Yeah, what happened?
Then it's amazing how at the end of their presidency, how many of these guys have suddenly shown this huge amount of humanitarian feelings. It's almost like Washington sucked the humanity out of them, and they only got it back when they left that town.
You know, I kind of think that might be true. I remember hearing some joke as a joke or a theory, not really a joke, but a theory that you elect a president. Once the president gets elected, they come into the White House, and the CIA takes them into a room and shows them a whole new angle of the Zapruder film that they've never seen, or of the JFK assassination that they've never seen before, and kind of implies, you know, you better fall in line, or this kind of thing's going to happen. But, you know, who knows, huh?
It's ridiculous. I mean, it is. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Very true.
And I admittedly now, you see a great contrast. I mean, you think about how many changes ideally we could have made with the different people who were in the office that never quite even got a start. And you look at them and you begin to realize it doesn't matter which side of that coin. It's just two sides of the same coin, and that's fast becoming a damn thin dime.
100% truth there, Stan. 100%, man. I, you know, yeah, what is there to say? What is there to say at that point?
I know what I can say. Bring on number four.
All right, sir.
Hey, Stan, you're awesome, man. Thanks so much.
Hey, thank you, guys, and have a great evening.
Hey, you too. We'll see you next week, okay?
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye. And that was Stan calling from Alabama, dropping some pearls of wisdom on us, but also some amazing poetry as well.
Yeah,
I was very, very thankful to have him. All right, so let's go to someone who loves romantic comedies. And I'm assuming walks in the rain. Let's go to Barbara in Connecticut.
No, I don't walk in the rain.
You don't like, no, I hate walks in the rain. Oh, I bet you hate pina coladas too. That's okay.
No.
Oh.
No, I love pina coladas.
If you like pina coladas, but hate walks in the rain. Yeah, see, there you go. If you like romantic comedies.
Anyway, I was looking through my book to see if I could read something that would fit in with the mood that I was in tonight, and I found my poem, Childhood Memories. So if anybody has my book, you can follow along. But if not, you should get it, because lots of people have loved it, just saying. And also, this is my little thing that I'm doing for people who buy my book. I am sending you an autographed book plate to you. So anybody, if that is enticing to you, you know,
Barbara, that's a cool offer. Can I offer it something else you might do? We're considering doing this with our next project, is autographing bananas and sending them to people. I'm actually thinking about using that as a business card.
I don't think that would work. I mean, think about the mail.
Well, you got to do it overnight.
No, you have to take green ones, I guess.
Yeah, see? But I'm actually thinking, we were talking about getting business cards. I was thinking, if I just got bananas, wrote my number on it, and with call me...
The people.
JT, you know I totally will do this. JT knows I will totally do this, and it will be hilarious. And everybody will lose my number or eat it. Or someone will slip on it and be like, who do I blame for this? Oh, look, a phone number. And then it's my fault.
Why don't you put it on the peel of the banana?
Yeah, I'd put it on the peel of the banana. I wouldn't put it on the part you eat. That's ridiculous.
But then people would throw away the peel.
No, that way they could pick it up. Hello. I mean, it's amazing. It's like a pun and a business card, but has a built-in time that you have to do it by. See?
Oh, okay. Finite time.
Yep. Yeah, it's what is it? A time constraint is what it's
called.
Cuts
down on the clutter of business cards that
See?
Build up
That's
over
right.
time.
That's right. No one wants more business cards. Here's a banana. You got to use it in the next few days. I'm going
to
try this,
you
JT.
Have to use the
We're
going to
carry
card.
A bunch of
what
business.
What do you do with the?
That's amazing. No, I'm totally going to do it. I just want to see people's reactions. JT, we got to do this now. We are doing this. Okay. All right.
Oh my God. Okay. Anyway, I am giving away book plate. So anyway, so the poem that I'm reading is called Childhood Memories. People who are reading along, it's on page 19. Childhood Memories. And I thought it was apropos, so you'll see why. 12 years old, with pre-hormonal lips pressed to my schoolboy crush, for 7 minutes, counting the moments until we could break this suction. But sadly, this was not the kiss of my dreams, though it was my first one. But I remember an unnamed boy who shared a ride during a wild night when I was 15 and on a forced trip with my family to one of the famed mountain resorts. And while we rode through the inky darkness upstate New York roads in the middle of tree-lined emptiness, he turned to me and placed his lips so soft, young, and pliant on mine and kissed me so sweetly the memory remains to this day. I waited for someone to exceed that moment, and it was you, the man whose heart linked with mine, with your stunning and gentle assault on my tender lips, caressing them with the heat of your heart, and enticing me with the promise of your love and your soul, who opened my heart and planted your flag forever. In poem.
And that was a reading from the book of Barbara. Hopefully you were reading along.
You'll probably forget me, living with and without hell.
That's right.
And it's, I think, this one isn't in the movie, but anyway, this one kind of is like a preface to my screenplay, because that's what it's all about, you know, the fact that I fell in love from a kiss. So.
Yeah. Well, wonderful read. Thank you so much for it.
You're welcome, and thank you guys for this wonderful program.
Of course.
It just fills me up with so much hope and also joy, and the camaraderie of all my fellow poets, and hearing everyone's wonderful work. And it's just such a nice ending to the week. So I really missed it last week.
Well, you know, we took the week off. It was a good thing to do, but because we have to do that to sustain the longevity. However, you know, it does feel weird when we're not here also. We miss it as well.
Yeah. So I like I said, we'll see you next week, hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we're around. Yeah, we're going to be back. No
Great.
Worries.
Okay. And I forgot to, I'm going to comment on yours and JT's poem, because I read them and I was floored. They were so good.
Well, thank you.
They were so great. I mean, I hope I have you blushing bright red, you know, because they were just, both of them, I said, wow. I said, these guys are really good. They should share more poetry. So just my feeling about it.
Well, thank you, Barbara. Appreciate it.
Okay. And take care. Have a great week. Okay. And see you next week. Bye-bye.
We'll see you next week. Thank you, Barbara. You know, the thing that Barbara doesn't know about me is when I blush, I'm so Anglo, you know, as far as my coloring.
Yeah.
When I blush, I just look normal.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm like Nosferatu over here.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It's okay.
The creepy stare thing. Let's go to Marion, Arizona. Sure, she doesn't have to deal with creepy stares. Actually, maybe she does. Hey, Mary, are you there? Oh, I can already hear it. I can hear that.
You can hear
the
it?
The Skype thing.
Really?
Mary, can you hang up and give us a call right back?
She probably already hung up. Hang up. Good English.
No, hey, fair enough. I understand.
But I forced the hang up.
Oh, just to speed it up?
Yeah, just to.
There she is. Let's see how this goes. Let's take her live.
Okay.
Hey, Mary, are you there?
I am almost here.
Well, you're almost here as well. We can hear you.
Oh, good. That's such a good thing, and I'm going to sing you a song.
All right, we'd love that.
I got to do it. You know, it's just a song that entered my head. So many songs, as you know, as musicians and poets, so many songs enter our head, and this is one I'm going to do in the honky tonk piano. I have a little keyboard; it's not worth much, but I think it sounds about the best in this.
All right.
Without further ado, it's by Kurt Cobain. He left too soon. He left in a strange and horrible way, and I'm sorry for that. And we're not about that. And so here we are with this hopeful song. Yeah. What else do I be? What else do I say? Everyone gets what I write. I don't have the right. What else should I be? In the sun, I feel as one. In the sun, Mary, Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I had. Wait, wait. I have it on my chest. Let me try it.
Oh, we'll take it. We'll sprinkle it with some powdered sugar.
I'm a 37-year-old man with no hair on my head. What am I supposed to do? It might be in my nostrils.
You know, there's something about baldness that has always appealed to me since the first organist that played in the church. Do not get me into that right now, please.
Okay. All right.
Or you may.
Be careful about organists. They want only one thing. They're obsessed with their organ. See, that's what I should. That's what I should tell people.
Oh,
hello, I'm an organist. Do you play the organ?
Isn't that
no.
A lovely way. I go to the sacristy and I say hallelujah and agape love to all, and you know, what a nice venue. Good night.
Thank you, Mary. And that was. Mm-hmm. And have a great night. That was Mary calling from Arizona, dropping some sacrificial knowledge on us, but also a beautiful song.
Yeah.
Very thankful for that. Very thankful for her. Now, from the mists of time before the dawn of man, Kentucky has reigned supreme. Home of the raccoon hat. Wait, that was Tennessee with Daniel... David, wow, am I?
I don't
Davy
think,
Crockett.
Yeah,
but he's born on a mountaintop in Tennessee.
Hey, Philip, call me back.
Yeah, Philip, call. I'm going to stall with this amazing history right now.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
I'm sure at one point he went to Kentucky, and that was where the reference came from. That's how this whole
they're close to each other. You know that.
Well,
right?
I mean, fairly close, right?
Yeah,
they end in the E.
That's not the only geographically they are
geographically.
Wow,
Tennessee, Kentucky.
Philip, call.
Basically, the deal is if I remember the directions how to get there from Daniel Day-Lewis and Last of the Mohicans, you turn west and really abrupt like turn left.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All
Philip.
Right, Philip, are you there?
I hope so. Am I?
I hope so, especially after that introduction.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed it. I'm over here rehearsing, thinking I'm very important. And
that's all right. You are very important.
well, I'll have to listen to it on the what do you say, the replay.
You're not missing much. You're not missing much. It was rough.
Don't sell yourself short. You are a man full of wit and mirth.
Oh, stop. Oh,
stop,
Philip.
Oh, stop.
I'm blasting.
What are you trying to do? Talk me into bed?
Yes. I'm already in bed. I'm like Perry Como doing a talk show.
Actually, I just recently watched, not La Cage aux Folles, but the American version, The Birdcage.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a hoot, I'm telling you.
Love that movie.
JT has taken that a little too far.
You guys are real fans. Okay. All
yeah,
right.
JT's taken his love for that show a little too far. I, for instance, I recognize myself in the character of Attacar Spartacus.
Yes.
Where I cannot wear shoes without falling over.
For if I wear shoes, I fall down.
Could you be any more manly and heterosexual?
I'm like a cross between Attacar Spartacus and Theodore Roosevelt.
Right. Very good. I can see you're comfortable with your identity there. Very good, sir.
Fair enough.
Well done. Oh, yes. Well, okay. I will get to it. Title. Here we go. Demonstrably queer similarities between the Bens and Icarus's last high-flown final thoughts. And here we go. Wandering wondrously errant toward a blissful P.O. box forever, fled from these everyday speech borders, each fragile breath made durable by imitating meters left unsayable. Love is what sustains us, this quixotic ache unfulfilled, except by you, my truest, most empyrean trusted, who wisely remains sublimely unknowable, only believed in a host. Write yourself into dreams from which no return tallies or is divisible. Grotesqueries mirrored by history, measuring the triage hideous upon bent tablespoons, scented with blooms, ripened into dirty inkwell sap, spilled across untouched pages, stained like sick gauzes, plunged into states of quiescence, neither alive nor dead, this masquerade emotionless. Bearing limbless mannequins with funereal aplomb draped in flags, an irrational voice poised like a defiant question mark at each sentence's conclusion, especially the declaratives. Tomorrow is forgotten elsewhere unknown, in the whim of when my implausible awakening. And there it is.
Once again, a very, very solid piece and a really appreciated one. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you, sir. You're making me blush. That's why I keep calling.
You're making me blush.
You're making me blush. You guys have a wonderful weekend and, you know, always. You guys do such a wonderful job. And I hope we're on next week.
Oh, yeah.
We are. Calendar.
We yeah. are.
And calendar's been updated.
Calendar's updated. We're back on. And we're going to continue going forward with more stuff. And Philip, I will follow up on the stuff with the Poet of the Month because I would love to have a compatriot kind of help me figure some stuff out with that.
Oh yeah, yeah, and, sure. I think I've got three in mind. Yeah, go ahead, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, awesome. I'd love it. And I did see your email that you sent a little while ago, and you I won't say the name, of course, but you did get it right. You got it right.
All right, score for Philip.
Yeah. Woohoo!
Really happens.
Yeah. Hey, Philip, we appreciate
it, man. All right,
fellas. Thank you.
Cheers to you both.
Cheers to you later. Bye.
All right, bye.
That sentence doesn't mean anything.
No, it
Cheers
didn't.
To you later. What the hell does that mean?
I don't know. You said it, though.
Yeah, I sure did. Hey, do you know what you get? No, I'm not going to say that joke. Not going to do it.
You sure?
All right. Yeah.
Okay.
Positive. All right. I'm going to read a submission, though, to end the evening.
That's right.
Yeah. And this is from a friend of ours who's a... on holiday.
Oh, good.
As we would say. And this is not a long one of his, but it's a really good one.
Okay.
It's something he had submitted. Love in war and peace. Nothing can ill afford to call this tryst a war, since I am sworn to love. I swear the worth of our allegiance has enticed the bravest man a woman can compare. In silence whilst the thought I still avow, the past of an adornment would it sate. Unknownst is love to others, but for now, for one and all to separate whose weight. And war for what an age is, death I fear, cannot allow the last remaining thing to roam within the shape of love sincere. It means I do believe our hopes will bring. The strength of love is assured, as always, to conquer love at war our peace conveys. And that was Love in War and Peace by Mr. Titus. Titus, thank you so much for that piece. Everybody, thank you so much for what you contributed this evening. It's great to be back together, even in a time of this strife, man-made otherwise. We're all here for you. We're here for each other, and we look forward to doing this next week. And we'll be around for a long time, guys. So don't worry about us disappearing, okay? We're here. We're here for you. All right. We love you all. From JT, For myself, from Ursa, from Novia, the studio cat, be safe out there. We love you, and God bless.